Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back now. We're going to hear a message from John Voight. He wants to tell us something about President Trump, the legitimate president of the United States. We'll be back after this. Go ahead.
My friends, this is the war of our lifetime now. We the people are in trouble if this nation picks Kamala Harris. We must stop this crime that is happening. It's a war crime that Obama is directing, and Kamala Harris will be the cackling hyena that just listens and repeats. If we do not stop this horror, you, my friends, will have the biggest horror that you will not know how to end. We must all see this truth, become one with this understanding that God will guide us with words of wisdom, that we may understand that Donald Trump will make any sacrifice to save America. We the people are in danger, and we must vote for President Trump because he will save this nation. And the left are all afraid of his strength because he is only for the people. He's not for the power, for the greed, the lies, or wanting to destroy one's hard-earned earnings. We must stop this madness now. Our children are in danger. The left is trying to take away your children and turn them into non-binaries. You all on the left, the ones who are my peers that preach, you all know who you are. What have you all learned in this life? Have you learned the lessons that will bring you to the higher place of eternity? This is now all your lessons. For each one who votes against Trump, this will be among the worst crimes that you will see in your lives. And you know why? This nation has criminals killing your child, father, brother, friend, you, because of the left mentality allowing this border to be open. The ones who are on the left who fight against Trump will pay a price for the injustice of lies that are Kamala Harris and Obama. And all of you who think this is the greatest economy, you will find that your life will sink into a hole of darkness, and the freedom we all once had will be burned in the dark plague of the darkest time in history, like the destruction of the Civil War. My fellow Americans, we've come too far, and this life we were given was the blessing of God, and this is our hope, to remember that he shall chant the words of Psalm 25 and in the Torah, Isaiah 55. We shall overcome. May God watch over us and bring this nation back together so her beauty will shine with her glory, the red, white, and blue. God bless America, and he will protect our nation against this evil left, and Donald Trump will make America great again.
All righty, we're back, and you know,
Christians in Hollywood, right?
Yeah. Jamie Raskin says that if Trump wins, then there will be a civil war. Let me ask you a question. Who would have the most to fear in a about fighting a war? People that know when they die they're going to a better place, or people that know when they die they're going to hell? Okay.
I think those of us that know where we're going to a better, much better
place. We would have less to fear, huh?
Right.
And so now Kamala says, hey, don't worry about it. If Trump does win, she is not going to certify the election because, you see, it had to be up to her. She's the vice president. And she will not certify the election. She's pulling a Nancy Pelosi.
Right, but at the same time, she's going to be one of the candidates, so she really won't be in a position, shouldn't be in a position to be able to do that.
Yeah, I know, but remember, they're Democrats.
That's a conflict of interest, right?
Yeah, but they're Democrats.
I know, and they don't listen to the Constitution anyway, right?
Right, and if she wouldn't certify it, it would be next to the Speaker of the House, huh?
And right now, that would be a good thing if it happened to the Speaker of the House. But
Johnson, right?
Right.
As long as it's not Mike Pence.
That rat.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I've got to do these two stories, folks. If you were listening Tuesday night, I was talking about the media, the disinformation, the misinformation, all of the different organizations, not all of them, but many of the ones they've created to feed you propaganda, to hide the truth. Now, two big stories came out. One, the first one, World News Daily, Bob Unruh writing, influencers offered huge payments for promoting Kamala Harris. Trump supporter went online to confirm he'd been offered $1,500 to post a comment supporting Harris and her VP pick. Basically, he said they were asking $1,500 for anti-Trump content on TikTok. Yep, this guy, influencer Michael Daugherty, he said they came out and they the requirements were gloat about Harris and her allies. He said they're basically creating division and paying for division online, you know, a false narrative. And remember, you know, Biden was out there and boasted about he was going to be a uniter when he campaigned. What have they done? They promoted division on what? On transgenderism, division on abortion, division on spending, division on taxes. We're a divided nation on the border. We're a divided nation on the economy. We're a divided nation on how to conduct an election. You know, our side wants what? One person, one vote, where you have voter ID, you prove who you are, that you're a citizen, you're registered to vote. The left wants anybody to be able to go online and vote. So there you have it. They're paying people on TikTok $1,500 to be anti-Trump and, you know, how do you phrase that, gloat about Harris and her new pick. Then the other big story, and this is from the Gateway Pundit, bombshell Zoom recording exposes Biden-Harris team's tactics to call Biden's mental decline disinformation. Yep. Matt Orfala, he's got a newly discovered Zoom recording of these people that campaigned systematic efforts to manipulate voters, control the narrative about Biden's fitness for office, and it goes back to 2020 election cycle. Yep, this journalist and video creator got this information. It was online, hidden. He found it. And to call this... Rob Flaherty, the digital director for the Biden campaign, he's now deputy campaign manager. Now he's working for Kamala. Flaherty discusses the DNC's strategic initiative to, quote, detect, track, and censor misinformation or narratives deemed harmful to Biden. He describes this, quote, as crucial and, quote, one of the more important decisions made by the Democratic Party in years. Quote, one of the smartest things that I think the party did itself was over the last couple of years, they actually invested in a team that Tim Flaherty runs, and you'll hear from Tim, to detect, track this misinformation narratives in various corners of the internet, and then go out and flag it to platforms as a violation of their policy. And he talked about, you know, who they've gone after, like Tucker Carlson, Tony Lehrer, all kinds of things. It goes on and on and on. But it's all about going to the different social media groups and all of this. And the whole thing was planned, and they now have recordings and proof from this investigative reporter, Matt Orfala. I don't think that's how you pronounce his name. It's spelled O-R-F-A-L-E-A, Matt. It's his first name, and he's been posting these different things on X. So there you have two of the biggest things that the Democratic Party is doing. They're paying for people to be anti-Trump, pro-Kamala. And they have a big hidden, he said, the most important decision that the Democratic Party made, and one of the smartest things that they ever did.
They've never done a smart thing, never.
Well, they consider lying, cheating, misrepresenting, and fooling the American people a great thing. You see the difference in values, folks?
Do you remember?
It is non-existent to them. It does not exist. Remember their motto, the end justifies the means. The only thing that's important to the Democrat Party, to the big people who run it, winning. Winning is all there is. Winning is everything.
Power and control. Power and control.
Yep.
And so here now, do you remember the book 1984?
Sure do. I read that long ago.
Now, that book was supposed to be a warning. Today's leftists are using it as an instruction manual. George Orwell's classic novel is set in a world where Big Brother controls the population through information control and surveillance.
That sounds like today, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit familiar. Well, doublethink. Yeah. Remember, doublethink means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting them both. Now listen, remember, because Kamala came out and said that she is against fracking, but she's in favor of fracking.
Right.
And now she's been against drilling, but now she's in favor of drilling. Okay.
Drilling.
This, I think, is called double thinking, okay? Or maybe dumb thinking. But during her career, especially
it's
when
really lying, it's what they've done is they are trying to cover up all her past record and bring her out as a newly minted moderate. That's why they don't want her asking questions, giving press conferences, because they want to be able to spin the narrative. They want to recreate her as a middle of the roader. They're going to present her VP as this good old boy that wears, baseball caps, likes to go deer hunting, likes guns. They're going to make him like one of the good old boys where he's really nothing but a communist.
That's the whole
in
point.
Conservative clothing.
Kamala gets very upset if you ask her a question and she's not prepared for it, which is just about everything. But during her career, especially when running for president in 2020, Kamala Harris took a number of radical positions. She praised efforts to defund the police. She once insinuated immigration and customs enforcement was compared to the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
And suggested the agency should be rebuilt from scratch. She wanted to decriminalize border crossings, have a completely open border. She co-sponsored the Green New Deal. She supported mandatory gun buyback, which is a forced program, eliminating private insurance and reparations. She was in favor of banning fracking and then plastic straws. Those policies play great in San Francisco, but not in the battleground states. Not to worry, though, not to worry a bit, because she flip-flopped on at least five major policy positions since becoming the presumptive nomination, instead of exposing.
And it's only been 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's, 5 and 2 weeks. Man, that's a pretty fast switch.
Yeah, well, she said she's used to dealing with criminals like Trump, but it seems like she don't want to debate him, does she?
Not really, no. This is going to be interesting. That debate could be, to me, the death knell for her, because she's great reading from a teleprompter. But just watch, if she does debate, her answers are going to be canned, they're going to be rehearsed, and no matter what the question is, she's going to try and turn her around and give her rehearsed answer.
So what do you think Trump will say if she says, like she did with Biden, when she told the story about the little girl that had to sit in the back of the bus? And she said that little girl was me. When come to find out, that whole story was a fake story. It was absolutely
fake. She didn't ride buses. She came from a pretty wealthy family. There was no way she was on a little bus like that.
So what do you think Trump would say if she was to make that same statement to him?
I hope he would say, isn't that kind of a flat-out lie?
I'd tell her to get on the bus and go. Just go.
Yeah. Than I am.
Yeah. but she has this thing though for school buses. I remember her talking about the yellow school bus and
the wheels in the bus go round and round.
She said
everybody loves the yellow bus.
She said a yellow school bus. A yellow school bus. A yellow school bus. Everyone loves a yellow school bus. And I said, I didn't. I don't. Okay. But I never forget that whole yellow school bus scenario she was talking about. It made you feel a little strange just listening to her. But anyhow...
Some of her stuff has been pretty weird, but, you know, right along with this, this Meta out there has got its AI. It's been refusing to acknowledge that Trump was almost assassinated. Now, Meta is the parent company of Facebook for you liberals. We call it Fakebook. But it also inaccurately labeled, the bloody Trump photo where he's got his fist up. As altered. That was altered, a created stage photograph, right?
Well, that was a lie,
here
yeah.
We have the parent company of Fakebook not willing to acknowledge that Trump was almost assassinated. Folks, the deck is so stacked right now against Donald Trump, it's not funny. But I think we've talked about God's anointing. He's been anointed. He's been chosen. And, if we just tell everyone, every listener out there, every Christian out there starts telling the truth, what's going on, pointing out the media you can't trust, they're lying to you on all these different platforms, and we just have to be strong and keep in prayer because this election, we're going to need God's help if we're going to get through this. Right, Pastor?
Well, you're right. In fact, on some of those... for the Facebook or what was the other one now that they use, where they went up to find out about, to see what information you could pull down about Trump's assassination attempt, they immediately switched it over to her.
Yeah. That's called misdirection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this, they're doing the newspeak, in this 1984. They're trying to, change your thinking. They're trying to get you to believe something that is not true, that, illegal aliens are what? They're undocumented workers,
Yeah.
Men who claim to be women but have the male package that just put on a dress. Well, we're supposed to believe they are really, really women. it goes on and on. And these people, I used to long ago, way back when I was young and dumb, had a lot of faith in the American people, but now I only have faith in those that are born again because the rest of the world seems to be willing to believe any stupid thing they're told. And they don't go research, they don't look up facts, they don't look at the truth, they don't verify anything anymore. And if it's on Fakebook, it's got to be real, right?
Well, last week, what happened in a Trump rally, when people were Googling, they were Googling the Trump rally that had about 60 or 70,000, and it kept coming back to Kamala Harris, her rally in Atlanta.
Right, how it had more people, which, wasn't true at all.
Yeah, so Meta is what I was thinking of. Recently, Meta refused to acknowledge that Trump was almost assassinated. Meta is the parent company of Facebook, and inaccurately labeled a first pumping photo of bloody Trump altered when people use Google to search for information. Trump's attempted assassination, its autofill wouldn't suggest his name. Both companies claim that they weren't trying to rig the results. Let me tell you today.
Trying to do it, huh?
Today, Trump gave a press conference, and every single time it seems like he does one out there, no matter what, you know, it stops. Today, and I was trying to watch his press conference, right in, it went off, you know, and I went from Fox News, I went over to C-SPAN, and, you know, there they go. Every time that there's a Trump has a rally or something, at least for a part of that time, there it's taken down. Spectrum One.
Sounds like what happened to us a few times on the air. We had some real important stories we were going to put out, and we lost the ability to reach certain stations, right?
Well, that's why we kept. Remember, we used to, the day before, we would have a special guest on here. We'd have a story we were going to break. We would announce it, and then we quit doing that. because that next day, everything you can imagine to go wrong went wrong, okay?
Yeah.
And, yeah, they were always trying to take us down. And so, but anyhow.
Well, remember, the end justifies the means, right?
Yep. So.
Did you hear about Nancy Pelosi? She is working on a book tour for her memoir, The Art of Power. And she reveals what her goal in life that inspired her to knife Biden, why she is upset about his dropping out of the race. In her book, she wrote, "My goal in life was that man would never set foot in the White House again." Her goal in life, that man. That's funny. She's quite old. She's older than I think you and I are, Pastor Ernie.
She's 82.
Yeah, she's older than we are. Now, if her goal in life was to stop Donald Trump from running for president, he didn't even know he was going to run until just a few years ago. So how could that have been her goal in life when nobody ever thought of Donald Trump running for president for most of her life, 50, 60 years of her life? I mean, that's got to be a kind of a contradictory statement, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would think so. She just did something. I'm trying to think. It was really, really ridiculous just recently to add to her. I don't know. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was Kamala was the one who said that all our information was kept in a cloud up in the sky there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She really thought it was kept in a cloud.
When I went out there, I looked, and there were so many different clouds. I wondered which one it was. Or then, like, is different information kept in different clouds, right?
Well, The Onion picked up on it, and they made a take on her statement, and she got up in an airplane, was flying around. She was actually up there trying to find what cloud her information was on, and it was one of the funniest things I've read in a long time. I told people last time I was on the air, go to The Onion and look at that story if you want a good laugh.
But now Nancy, you know, she's changed her mind several times. Now she said, you know, that she wanted, but before it was, she was angry because he dropped out. Now she was saying that he waited too long. She couldn't understand why he was waiting so long, okay, to drop out. So she can't make up her mind, can she?
No. Well,
she doesn't have a mind. She's being directed.
Her mind is fluid, Pastor Ernie. It can flow from one thought to another, even though they're diametrically opposed. I guess doesn't matter, right?
You know, you and I saw what she did there in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I wish we could have let that on national television across the country.
Wish we could have put the pictures up.
If people had seen that, okay, it was just unbelievable. You know, here was it's a sodomite parade in San Francisco out on a broad daylight. And
it was
here,
actually not a parade. It was in a square, in a big area. It was cordoned off and people were there taking pictures. They had babies and strollers like they were going through a park.
It was called Decadence Day.
A decadence thing, yeah, celebration.
Yeah, and decadence celebration. And so there were two stark naked sodomites, and they were sodomizing each other. And Nancy's standing right next to him, a foot away, saying, Jesus would be happy with the way you're showing love to each other. Right there. I mean, you talk about a dingbat of dingbats. This was the dingbat of dingbats.
And then just a little bit down from there, they had several people whipping each other, whipping different people. I mean, they had some of the sickest things going on that you could imagine, and she's walking through this whole thing, and this is her San Francisco that she's so proud of. And I thought, boy,
There was another dingbat grandmother, had her two grandchildren there, little boy and girl, looked to be about 6-7 years old. By the hands, watching,
by the hands.
Watching two other this sodomites. Yeah.
That's child abuse. That grandmother should have been put in jail. So should a lot of the other parents. There were people there with children in strollers, and they were, like, taking pictures. It was like they were going to Disneyland or the zoo. It was kind of like going to the zoo watching the animals, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Animals are better behaved, but that was the only difference I could see.
And that's the real Nancy Pelosi. These are the people that want to legalize pedophilia. These are the people that want to legalize pedophilia. That woman is totally degenerate. I mean, she is reprobate in every sense of the word. And that's what's happened to the entire Democratic Communist Party. They've become totally reprobate.
Reprobate, yeah. An abomination unto the Lord is what they become.
Yeah, I know. And why aren't more pastors preaching that? Why aren't they doing that?
I think they're afraid. They've got some Democrats or some liberals in their church, and the money in the collection plate would wither, and people would get all upset, and but as a pastor, we're supposed to what? Tell the truth. We're supposed to preach the gospel, tell the truth, and be his watchman on the wall, right?
We're supposed to preach to people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, that's what we've always done without compromise. We are only to fear God.
Say we were going to be popular. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, because they hated me, they're going to hate you if you follow me and do what I tell you, right?
Right. But preaching the truth, does that often offend the offering plate?
Yeah, often.
And so that's the real problem there.
That's the real problem, because the love of money, you have to have money to survive, but too many people, they've made it too important in their life. God supplies your needs. The Bible doesn't say God is going to give you everything you want. It says God will supply your needs.
All righty. I think, this might be a good idea if we were to open the phone lines and take a few calls from people. And if they're like hard calls, we'll let Richard handle a few. He hasn't had the real hard ones.
Yeah, give him the hard ones.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be glad to do that.
Yeah. All right. Let's open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We have time for a few calls tonight.
Yeah, a lot of people need their wanters fixed is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we're living in a time, and I'm hearing people recently. A fellow said that Christians should stay out of politics. They shouldn't. How do you answer that? Well, first of all, what is politics? If we look in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, every prophet, every priest, every man of God, every preacher, their faith and their politics, and especially none assumed that more than the Lord Jesus himself, were inseparable. They were simply the same. Faith and politics are simply the same.
Well, you have to stand on God's word, and God's word is righteous, and if there's things going on that are against God's word, they have to be declared.
When Peter said we must obey God rather than man, I remember Jimmy Carter saying, abortion is wrong, according to the Bible it's murder, but I was elected and I have to please my constituents. Do you think Jimmy was really a born-again Christian? All right.
Afraid not. I would, you know, when he said that, because if you were truly born again, the difference between just people.
Boy, the whole board just lit. We'll be back right after this. Take us away. We'll be right back.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah you bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got the leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
And that is a very sure thing, Carl Klang. My old buddy Carl Klang, he's up there in heaven today.
Amen.
He's gone, but his music plays on.
Yeah.
Let's go out to St. Paul with Vince. You're in the air, Vince.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. What you say about Nancy Pelosi is absolutely correct. But one thing I think you folks might be happy about Nancy Pelosi is she does favor Israel. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think she says she would defend Israel before she would defend America.
That's an amazing thing. I wouldn't, of course, we don't know how long that's going to last, okay? Kamala is definitely not in favor of Israel. And Timmy Waltz, the bootlicker, he's in favor of whatever Kamala's in favor of.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, you know, very good point.
All right. Okay. Very well. All right. I'm still listening. I'll have a nice evening.
You too. Thanks. Okay. Well, let's go out to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi's 84. She'll be 85. And George Soros will be 94 in 3 days. So, but...
How old are you, Cliff?
Well, I'm a basketball player. I'll give you that. I play pickup with a guy that was on me a lot from New York that was on the Cleveland Cavaliers going back. He averaged six a game when LeBron James was on the team. What do you call it?
Threw you off, didn't I?
What?
I threw you off, didn't I?
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about, on Stu Peters. Yeah, that's right. It was, there's a thing about an inside job about a week ago, but in the second half of that, there's this guy, Richard Lugo. I forget his first name, Dr. Lugo. But he's giving anti-parasite medications such as ivermectin and other ones to people that have cancer that metastasized and, you know, were given, you know, no hope with some reversals. So that might be something that would be of interest, you know, just to look at. It's kind of technical what he's saying. You know, he's talking about cells and stuff like that. So
all right, I'll put Joe on that right away.
Yeah.
No, we'll give that to Wendy. That's in her category.
Wendy should know.
Yeah, Wendy might be interested in that. And then Galatians, I was looking at a couple of chapters, but one thing, chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, it says, do not frustrate the grace of God. And earlier in that chapter, it's talking about don't spend an hour. In other words, like the judicious use of time, that's kind of interesting that it has the hour in that chapter. And it says, Paul's saying at the end of that chapter, don't frustrate the grace of God. Given, you know, I was looking at that because at the beginning of Galatians, talking where Paul talks about being in Arabia for 3 years, which, you know, that's not very precise.
All right, well, very good. Thanks for informing us. We got to move on. The whole board's lit up. Let's go out to Massachusetts with David. Hey, David, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Dave.
Hi. You mentioned, how you doing?
Hi. Good. My blood got boiling when you mentioned Dwayne Johnson. You know, could you ever do a report or a research on what really went happened over Maui? All the missing children. Oprah involved and Mater, the guy Mark Zuckerberg, what and then the fire.
Yeah, they all had their mansions there, and their mansions didn't get touched. What everybody else was, right?
Yeah, we know all that, but what really happened to all? They claim what hundreds of thousands of children? Kind of, they never really kept good documents on them, and.
Well, that's the problem. They never kept document. When you said good documents, they were missing. It's kind of hard to do traces when they purposely made sure there were no trails. They destroyed evidence or didn't keep records in the first place because what they were doing, they sure didn't want it to see daylight.
Absolutely.
A lot of facets going on there. You know, the land takeover and the children missing and the people that are involved that we know of.
Well, it seems like every time something dark and dirty happens, the CIA is involved
and really?
certain parts of the dirty 30 of the FBI. So, yeah.
My question is, in the future, could you do a little investigation, do a little report on it? Because I'm still very concerned. I don't hear any one person I know talk about it, but it's still that's one of the worst tragedies.
All righty. Well, we've done a lot about the children in this country. Over 150,000 are missing.
Work on there.
Yep.
Yeah. I listen to your show every night. I know all that. Just specific on this region as well, because nobody's. It just seems like it's pushed under the rug.
All right. We'll see what we can do, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Bob in New Jersey. Hey, Bob.
Pastor Ernie. Okay, I just wanted to give you about an article about the staff and how Harris treated them. Harris instructed her entire staff to stand up every morning as she entered the office and say, "Good morning, General." And this is about the top of the article is, "My son was cursed by Kamala." This guy was also given instructions to never address Harris nor look at her in the eye, as that privilege was only allowed to senior staff members.
Yeah, it's 93% of her staff quit. They quit.
Yeah, she's had, what, three or four turnovers of staff. Nobody wants to work for her. We know that, so I believe it's true.
Yeah.
And this is the last quick line here. "With Kamala, you have to put up with a constant amount of soul-destroying criticism and also her lack of confidence. So you're constantly sort of propping up a bully, and it's not clearly the reason why."
And so, you know, I you know, can't wait to see how she would handle Steve Ducey's son. You know how he gave Biden such a problem. And some of these journalists, you know, if they're actually a journalist, you know, he's one of the few, they find out because she's got a quick temper. If she can't answer a question, and most questions she can't answer.
It'd be interesting with the debate, too. Thank you. Have a blessed night, fellas.
Yeah, I could just imagine her debating Trump. That'll be interesting. All righty, thanks. Let's go to, well, we have Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal's in the air. Hey, Hal.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing okay. We're discussing all different kinds of things here tonight.
And, we're back on the air.
Back on the air, yeah. It's interesting, you know, when you talk about the Democrat degenerate party of politicians, that, you know, it's a spiritual battle when you come right down to it between the Antichrist and God himself. And the Democrat Party, definitely with all their degeneracy and everything else, represents Satan himself. No born-again Christian has any business being part of that Democrat Party.
Amen.
You know, here, one of the things that's happening out there in Virginia is that Youngkin, the governor, he mandates all paper ballots now for presidential elections in Virginia. And what happened in Arizona, so they decided in Arizona, you can only get, you can only vote an election if you are a citizen. You have to be a citizen. So they want, unless you had a, if you were managed to get a federal ballot. And so that's what they're trying to do. Now the Democrats are out there trying to get these federal ballots to where gang members, all the gang members can vote, all the illegals can vote. You know, I mean, just everything they do has to do with corruption, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing they do that doesn't have to do with corruption.
You're right. You know, Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And we're as a country, we're bearing so much reproach right now because of the degenerates that are running this country over a cliff and down to destruction.
You know, Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." One of the things that they don't understand, the people in this country don't understand, that we spoke about it earlier, God brought the harshest punishment on any people for killing their children, okay? And that's what America here, the entire Democratic Communist Party, their number one issue is killing children, killing little babies. And the American people, somehow, there's a mindset, well, it's a... as long as we don't kill too many of them or whatever, they really don't get it. You know, they got a mindset if it's legal. They don't understand. They're standing in the shadow of a holy and a just and honor God, and he's an angry God, okay? And they don't get it. And
you know, Pastor, in the Old Testament, they used to kill their children unto Moloch. Moloch was a type of the Antichrist. So when women kill their babies today, it's like they're offering their own babies up to the Antichrist.
Absolutely.
That's how serious this is. Yeah. Hey, listen, when you want me to give the invitation, just let me know.
Okay, so how much time do we have there? Wow. Okay, listen, you've got 9 minutes. Well, actually about 8 minutes. So go for it, Hal.
Okay, I'll do that then. You know, the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. no man comes to the Father but by me. And there's a lot of voices out there in the world telling you, you know, you get to heaven this way and that way. Some will tell you you got to join their church and their movement. But the Bible says it's only through Jesus. He is the way, not a way. And so when you come to Christ, the Bible says in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And repentance is part of getting saved. You come to Jesus with a repentant heart, sorry about the fact that you're a sinner, and at that time you ask Jesus to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross. And the Bible says he's going to do just that. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's the blood of God himself that was flowing through the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ that could wash away your sin and mine. And nobody else's blood could ever do that. And you could be a member of every church in town and then go to hell with all your membership cards. And if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again the rest of your life, just the sins you've already done would keep you out of heaven, because God hates sin that much. He can't let one sin into heaven. But he loves you, so that's why he allowed Jesus Christ to die on that cross, because what he was doing, in effect, was transferring your sin and mine onto his son Jesus. And Jesus paid for our sins in full on that cross. And the last words he said was, it is finished. So that means he was telling us that God the Father accepted the payment he paid in our place on that cross for our redemption and for our salvation. But now that don't become yours automatically. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So that salvation is there for you to receive. But if you don't receive it, just knowing about it up in your head doesn't put you any better off than the devil himself. Even the devil knows that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul. But the devil does not want you to reach out and receive that payment. He might tell you, yeah, you need it. You've got to have it someday, but not now, not tonight. And that's like telling somebody out in the ocean drowning, you don't need that life preserver now. Get it some other time. But the thing is, God is knocking at the door of your heart right now. Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, it's not a smart thing to keep God knocking at the door of your heart, offering you a payment that his son paid for you on that cross, and then you just putting it off like it's nothing. And it's the most precious thing, the most precious gift you could ever receive in your life. And the destiny of your soul depends on what you do with that payment, whether you ignore it, put it off, reject it, or receive it. And now God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. And God would know if you, by faith, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Romans 10:13 is what they call the sinner's prayer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you, with a repentant heart, call, that's to pray, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that's how you open up the door of your heart, and Jesus will come in and give to you the payment he paid in your place so you don't have to go to hell, so that you can go to heaven and be with him for all eternity. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Let's say a simple prayer of faith right now, and I'd be glad as a pastor, a preacher, even as a Christian, to lead you a few words at a time. But even though we'd be praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. It is vital that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior before you let any more time pass away. Because if the devil could, he'd drag your soul into hell right now tonight. And don't give him that opportunity. Because once you give your soul to Jesus, he has it permanently. The devil can never get it after that. Now, if you'd like to pray, let's pray and just mean it with simple childlike faith. Pray with me this prayer. Oh, dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your precious blood to wash away my sins. And right now, Lord Jesus, right now, I here and now ask you to come into my heart, to give me the payment you paid in my place on that cross, to give me eternal life and a home in heaven forever and ever. And I thank you forevermore for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, amen. Folks,
1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. It's a know-so salvation. when he said these things are written unto you that believe on, that meant that you personally received, not just believe about, but believe on. You received him as your Savior. Why? That you may know, not that you may think it, wish it, wonder about it, or hope for it, but that you may know. That's 100% certain. How can you be 100% certain? Because God made you that promise, and God cannot lie. So according to God's promise and your prayer a few moments ago, if you died right now tonight, it's not, oh, I wonder where I'll go. But because God's promise and your prayer, if you were sincere, you have eternal life right now. You have it in you right now, even though you haven't physically died. If your body was to, your heart was to quit beating right now tonight, your soul would be with Jesus before your body even hit the floor. Because the Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he spoke that to people who received Christ as their Savior, just like you did when we prayed. Okay, Pastor, go ahead.
Well, very, very good. But how do you know that you, how do you know for sure that you're saved? Can you know that you're saved? This is in 1 John 5. What does it say?
Well, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That means you received him as your Savior. But see, you know, because God made you a promise. And also, when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's Holy Spirit came into your soul and gave you that spiritual birth into the kingdom of God, into the body of Christ. So I've got the Holy Spirit inside of me, bearing record, assurance that I have Jesus Christ as my Savior and I have eternal life. So I got the promise of God's word, and I've got the Holy Spirit.
All right. I've been there at times when I've given deathbed conversions where people were on their deathbed, and you've seen something. If you're there, you can see when they receive the Lord, all of a sudden there's a smile, there's that peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
And
you and I spent a lot of time in hospice.
Yeah, and one very well-known pastor, I had gotten a call, Pastor Lenz, in fact, and how much time? And he had... the hospital had called me about 4 in the morning and said, you better get down here. His family had just left. They couldn't contact him. I went in there, and I sat there with him. And he was in a lot of pain, but all of a sudden he got this big smile on his face, and he said, the Lord had just showed me where I'm going. He says, son, it is beautiful. Oh, he says, and this big smile from ear to ear, and then he was gone. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, so that's why we don't fear death, huh?
That's right.
Amen.
We know that our eyes will be closed, and when we wake up, for a fact, we're going to be in a much better place.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians says he's taken the sting from out of death.
Absolutely. Oh, sting. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Yes.
That's right.
All righty. Folks, we're at that time where we say, thanks for being here. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
We say, God bless.
God bless.
Bless
always, 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 always ready. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right, what's left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.